Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم. Lives of the companions, رضي الله عنهم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you once again in a new episode of our program that goes by the title of Lives of the Companions. As it's obvious from the title of the program that in this silsila, in this program, we discuss about one of the companions of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, learn about them, learn about their life and derive some pearls of wisdom for ourselves as well. As usual, today, once again, we've chosen a very special personality, a special companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to discuss about, a companion who is known from his scholarly brilliance, a companion who has a very close relationship with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, a companion that is seen as a beacon of guidance from many perspectives, from many aspects that we look upon him from. And to discuss about this very special companion, again, we have special guests in our program today, alhamdulillah. Yes, dear viewers of Madani Channel, normally we have only one guest, but in today's episode, alhamdulillah, we have two distinguished honorable guests whom, inshallah, I will introduce you to very soon. But first of all, who is the personality that we will be discussing today? Which companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is he whom we will be discussing about? It is none other than our master, our leader, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu. Such a great companion, a companion of immense grandeur, a companion that possesses such excellences from the perspective of a scholarly brilliance, or you want to talk about his piety, or whichever element you want to pick up on, you will see him to be right at the top. You will see him to be our guide, our leader. Now let's go towards our panel today, the panel of Muballighin, who will be taking us through this journey of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu today. I have immense honor in introducing you my both distinguished and honorable guests today, alhamdulillah. To my right, alhamdulillah, we have Ali Haider Attari with us. We welcome you on our show, Ali Bhai, who is, mashallah, a student of Jamiatul Madina, the Islamic University of Dawat-e-Islami. And to the side of my heart, alhamdulillah, we have our Muhammad Saif Ali Attari Madani, a graduate from Jamiatul Madina, the Islamic University of Dawat-e-Islami. So alhamdulillah, we have both these distinguished and honorable guests with us today who will be talking about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu and enlightening our hearts further with his love, with his eminence. Without any further delay, let's go straight into the discussion and let's talk about this legendary personality in the history of Islam who is known as Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. So let's first of all start with Ali Bhai yourself, that when we talk about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, subhanallah, so many pearls of wisdom and excellences we think about, whether it is his scholarly brilliance, which he mainly is known as amongst the fuqaha sahaba, he is amongst the jurist sahaba and amongst the sahaba who are known to have that scholarly brilliance. And there's so much to talk about him. So just to begin with, a brief introduction and his something about his early life, if you could mention for the viewers of Madani Channel, so we can, of course, get an insight into what personality he is, and then inshallah continue our discussion further.
Inshallah. So the full name of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is Abdullah ibn Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim. So he was not only a companion of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, he was also the paternal cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So not only was he had the nisbat of being from amongst the Sahaba, but he was also from the family of the Rasul alayhi salam. And when was he born? He was born 3 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam left this mundane world, he was only 13 years of age. So now everything that we're going to speak about in terms of his piety and knowledge, keep this in mind, that he was only 13 when the Rasul alayhi salam left. So all the knowledge he accumulated was within this age of 13 years. Now, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, another form of his lineage was that he was the nephew of Sayyida Maymuna bint al-Harith radiyallahu anha, who later became known as Umm al-Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers.
She was married to the Prophet
alayhi salatu wasalam. And in terms of more of an introduction with regards to his titles, he was known as a sea of knowledge in terms of his wisdom, a sea and an ocean of knowledge amongst the early Quran scholars. And with regards to his early life, right at the start of his life, how honored was Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu? Because when we look at any companion, why do we praise the Sahaba ikram? Is due to the nisbat with the Rasul alayhi salam. Any single thing that has a nisbah becomes blessed, whether that is land, whether that is an individual. Now we look at Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, as soon as he was born, even before his suckling, his mother took him to the court of the Rasul alayhi salam, and the Rasul alayhi salam blessed him with his saliva. So the first thing that entered his mouth, even before the suckling period, was the saliva of the Rasul alayhi salam.
The blessed venerated saliva.
Exactly. The most best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keeping that in mind, why wouldn't we call him the prince of the fuqaha, the leader of the scholars, the head of the jurists? All of these titles is due to the nisbah of the saliva of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Now this was the first part of this intimate relation with the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Now when Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he grew up, he only had one role model in mind. That wherever he saw the Rasul alayhi salam, he would be there. Any assembly, any gathering, any travel, the first thing that would come to mind is, how can I be in the service of the Rasul alayhi salam? If the Rasul alayhi salam was to perform ablution, he would say, how can I go and serve? How can I go and bring water? So any single time that he had an opportunity to accompany the Rasul, to do the khidmat of the Rasul alayhi salam, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas would not even wait a moment. So there's many a times where Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas would fetch water for the Rasul alayhi salam. He would stand behind the Rasul alayhi salam. And it's very interesting. In the congregation, he would stand behind the Rasul alayhi salam. Of course, the Rasul alayhi salam was the imam. But even when they were walk, even if they were to go in any journey, he would always walk by the behind the Rasul alayhi salam. And even sometimes some people question that, why don't you walk on the side of the Rasul alayhi salam? He said, how could I walk side by side with the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this was his sincerity and love.
Ali Bey, as you're mentioning that, he radiallahu anhu would walk behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he wouldn't walk by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. A thought comes to the mind, that the Prophet alayhi salatu, was there any direct instruction from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in this regard? Or was there any wahi revealed or any ayah of the Quran in this regard that you should do so, you should walk in this manner where you're walking behind the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? So this element of respecting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, of honoring the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we learn from the seerah of Sahaba Ikram alayhi marimah, he spent their entire life, or a good portion of their life, or who acquired knowledge directly from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the element of respect, one thing which out of many things that I can pick up from this is element of respecting the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, honoring the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as long as we do not violate the bounds of Sharia.
Exactly. So that's what the Sahaba Ikram were saying. That's even the lesson for us, that your respect for the Rasul alayhi salam, your reverence for the Rasul alayhi salam, no one can limit this. When Allah Himself has praised the Rasul alayhi salam, our attempts will still not suffice. Even if we spent all our lives, and you famously know the saying that people have spent their lives, books have been filled, pens have become dried, authors have left this world, but we couldn't even do a justice to a single moment of the life of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam.
The Imam of Ahl Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Razakhan rahimahullah, summarizes this point beautifully. جب صاحب قرآن ہے خود مداح رسول خود سے کب ممکن ہے پھر مدحت رسول اللہ کی دیکھ دن اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی himself praises the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam din aur raza. How is it possible for you to praise the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? Mashallah, subhanallah. So beautifully, mashallah, started by yourself where you've mentioned the introduction of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and how he radiallahu anhu would go to the extent of serving the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and ensuring that he is in the service of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So we've spoken about the introduction of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and also his early life. But if you look at it, it was only until the age of 13 that he radiallahu anhu was addressed with the physical company of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And pretty much his early days, you can say, were spent in the company of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam departed from this world physically. And Davis, one thing when we talk about the excellence or brilliance of a personality can also be depicted from the sayings of that very individual. What kind of pearls of wisdom have they uttered, have they stated for the reformation of the Ummah for the upcoming generations? So we heard from Muballigh Dawat Islami that Abdullah ibn Abbas from a very young age, he was in the company of the Prophet والسلام, acquired knowledge directly from the court of the Prophet والسلام. We've also covered some of the titles that were given to him. Amongst many of the titles, he was known as the possessor of farasa, insightfulness. He was known as Badrul Ulama, the moon of the Ulama. He was known as Qutbul Aflaq. He was known as someone who's needed by the kings. He was known as the flowing spring of knowledge. He was known as Mufassir-i Quran. He was known as someone who would beautifully, who would be fully aware of the most sensitive and delicate matters of the Sharia. And he was known as someone who would revere, who would respect other people and who would feed other people. Subhanallah. These are some of the titles and excellences that have been mentioned in the books regarding Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and an intelligent teacher is also amongst one of his titles. Subhanallah. So this is our master, our leader Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So let's take our discussion a step further, where we've figured out regarding his brilliance from scholarly perspective, and from a right very early age, he spent his childhood in the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So now you can imagine that what doors of wisdom, of knowledge would have opened upon him. Let's try to add a few sayings of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and see that from this perspective, what do we find in his blessed sayings and how valuable they are for us? For this, I would like to come to our Honorable Saif Madani Saab. Azul, first of all, Jazakallah for joining us in today's program. And now, as we covered the brief introduction of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, if you could kindly shed some light regarding the sayings of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, which he stated for the reformation of the Ummah, not only for the upcoming generations, but also for his contemporaries, those who were present at that very time. So if you could shed some light regarding some of the sayings of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, then we'll take a discussion further, inshallah.
MashaAllah. What a beautiful way to gain closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu by following the blessed aqwal. When we look at blessed personality, they're usually our role models, be it a president, be it a king. But which better personality to gain closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by means of the blessed sahabi, subhanallah, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So let's look at some of the sayings. One, Sayyidina Sa'id bin Jubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrated that he saw Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma holding the tip of his tongue.
Right.
Holding the tip of his tongue while saying, "What great regret I have over you. Speak good as your betterment lies in this, and do not utter evil as your safety lies in this." When those present asked the reason behind this, he responded, "I have been informed that a person shall be subject to the greatest loss on the day of judgment due to his tongue."
Allah.
So this just goes to show, how are we utilizing our tongues? It's a smooth, a piece of flesh in our body. Are we utilizing it in a good way? Is there any benefit or is there any harm?
This in its own, if we just take this saying, this in its own can be sort of a charter for our life.
Yes.
That how should we live our life?
Yes.
How should we speak? And what great wisdom is hidden just within this beautiful piece of advice.
Subhanallah. So this just goes to show that we should utilize our tongue in the durood, the park, to read salawat upon Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do the zikr of Allah azza wa jal, pick up a tasbih, utilize your tongue well. But what do you see nowadays? You see people misusing their tongue with what? Swearing, slandering, telling tales, backbiting, lying, so many diseases.
These are those examples you've given, Azur, which are sinful.
Yeah.
But if you talk about those examples where people utter certain statements which are useless, which carry no benefit of this world or of the hereafter, ulama, they've even condemned this, that we should even avoid this.
Yes.
And how comprehensively Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is mentioned within this small statement that what should be the state of our life in terms of using our tongue, which perhaps is one of the most used body part of others.
Yeah. Every single, you know, organ of our body will, you know, be made to give accountability on the day of judgment. Every single word. You know, when the sun will be burning above our heads, and you know, having to do the accountability of what we spoke, you know, all those things which didn't have benefit, which were harmful, what are we going to say to Allah? Let's move on to the next thing. The next thing is, O tongue, speak well, you will benefit, and refrain from speaking ill, as your safety lies in this. So again, related to the previous thing, if we're going to say something bad, it's going to give a bad impression of ourselves, we're going to have to give accountability on the day of judgment.
Another thing is, from this very saying, we can see that Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he's addressing himself. But look at the level of humility he's displaying over here. As can we imagine someone like Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, uttering anything useless, let alone sinful, or something which is not of benefit of this world or the hereafter? It's every moment would be spent in the remembrance of Allah Almighty, whether it would be in the form of teaching, in the form of contemplation, in the form of advising others, it would be spent in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he's addressing himself, O tongue, speak well. These are the matters of the elite, you know, how they led their lives. Whereas ourselves, as you earlier gave the example, you know, of Abdullah ibn Abbas, we were talking about useless conversation, let alone sinful conversation. Yes. With us, it's other ways round. Let alone useless conversation, we unfortunately, astaghfirullah, use our tongue, the blessing which Allah Almighty gave us in ma'adallah, violating the rights of Allah in using sinful language, ma'adallah. SubhanAllah, beautiful saying, SubhanAllah.
Next saying now. When the dirham and dinar, so just want to say this. So when people, you know, when they have money, so now the priority is, the whole day is devoted into earning money, wealth. The American dollar, the pound, the euro, the dirham, the dinar. Nowadays people are prioritized the wealth over the deen. Let's go into this. When the dirham and dinar, the coins of gold and silver, which we all know, they were first fashioned. So what happened? Satan held them to his eyes and said, you are the nourishment of my heart and coolness of my eyes. So we have to imagine those who love wealth, they are following the footsteps of Shaitan. Through you, I will make people rebellious and turn them into disbelievers. We have to, you know, think to ourselves, what are we doing with our wealth? When we earn wealth, what are we doing? People, ma'azallah, spending in haram. In those things which don't even have benefit, alcohol, gambling, all of these problems. And then the worst outcome is people become disbelievers. People argue over each other, people kill each other because of money. Dirham, dinars. I will cause people to enter hell because of you. I am happy with the person whose love of the world causes him to become your slave. And this is the reality. But most of the people in the society, they become slaves of wealth. When something happens, money comes first. Why not the deen of Islam? Why can we not do the sacrifice like Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas? Why can we not seek knowledge? So this is all for us to contemplate.
Inshallah, I'll just stop you here for a little while. Inshallah, we'll discuss and comment on this narration further. It is time for our first segment, the Behaviors of Madani Channel. Our first segment is Message of the Scholar. We'll go towards this segment, and on the other side of the segment, we will continue our discussion from where we are leaving it at the moment. So the first segment of the day, which is Message of the Scholar. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the Companions, radiyallahu anhum.
How is it for a person to eat his own nails? Is it a sin? And what is the ruling for overgrown nails? As in, are they impure or deemed as dead? What is it?
There wouldn't be perhaps anyone who eats his nails. And if someone actually does so, then it's haram. It is unlawful, haram to consume human nails or human hair. People normally don't eat their nails. They normally bite their nails. And they won't listen to you if you tell them to stop biting their nails once or twice. They're so habitual to this practice that they keep doing it. And as for biting your nails with your teeth, there's a prohibition for this very act. and the risk of being afflicted with the disease of having white spots on your body also lies in this very act, and it's also prohibited. And doing so will also make the dust and dirt in it to enter in your mouth and then in your stomach, which can then lead to several kinds of illnesses. So remove this habit. Normally, children also have this habit as well as their parents and the grown-ups. It is as if it comes as a family trend or something. They keep doing it. No matter how much you explain them, they don't leave this practice. They will. You have to take this very serious and abandon this practice. And you should keep trying to make your children leave this habit as well. Even children, they don't listen. They keep doing it, those who are used to it. But we should keep trying from our side. There's another practice that is quite prevalent among some parents nowadays, where what they do is, they put a set kind of chemical on the nails of the children, which tastes very sour, so that children don't do it again, but I'm not too sure about its side effects. Like if you put chilies on, then what if the child rubs his eyes with those fingers? What would you do then? That'll be a big trouble. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Beautiful message. May Allah Almighty enable us to act upon it. So, but just before we went to the segment, we were talking about one of the saying of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, where the love for the wealth was condemned through his saying. And you beautifully mentioned regarding how people, they fall prey to rebelliousness, disobedience of Allah Almighty, and falling into the traps of Satan, the accursed. Now, at the same time, one thing we shouldn't get mixed up with, that earning lawful sustenance, earning lawful wealth is absolutely fine.
Yes.
But along with earning wealth, there are certain dues that we have to fulfill, there are certain responsibilities. So, earn wealth through halal means no problem whatsoever, but make sure that we fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we earn the wealth, which is of course paying the dues of God.
Yeah.
Of course, ensuring that we don't spend the wealth in haram. Yeah. Of course, Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu also had wealth. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu also had wealth. We have the likes of the foremost Imam, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, who was also the individual. So, follow their seerah, how they spend their wealth in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wealth given by Allah, spent in the way of Allah, given more blessing in your wealth than spent again in the way of Allah. So this is how we should be in relation to our wealth. Jiyuzur, any other thing that you want to, inshallah, carry on?
In regards to that, you know, so those who utilize their wealth correctly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the glorious Quran, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. So if you've been given the wealth from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, use it rightfully, then yes, there's no problem. You should always use it rightfully.
SubhanAllah.
Now this next thing is in regards to a nation, and it's in regards to a ruler.
Right.
So the nation in which injustice becomes apparent will suffer from a great number of deaths.
Allah.
Allahu Akbar. So nowadays we're seeing this, you know, quite a lot, that there's a lot of corrupt rulers, evil rulers.
Injustices.
And what are they doing? They're doing injustice upon the people, upon civilians.
Yeah.
And you know, people, the rulers in particular, they don't realize that, you know, on the day of judgment, they will have to give severe accountability for even one person killed unjustly. وَمَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Whoever kills a person unjustly or causes chaos on the earth, it's like he's killed the whole of mankind.
Allah.
So even one person who you do injustice with, who you killed, there will be severe accountability. So we have to make sure that if a person's a ruler, they rule justly.
Justice has a paramount importance within a society.
Sayyidina Abu Ghalib Khalji rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi once heard Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma saying, make the fulfillment of obligations.
Right.
So what is meant by this? It's meant by the faraid. Those actions which are obligatory upon every single Muslim. Necessary upon yourself. Make it necessary upon yourself. Right. Fulfill the rights of Allah Almighty that He has ordained upon you.
Right.
And ask Him for aid in doing this. So when we are asking aid from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to question ourselves. Are we worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we reading our 5 daily prayers? Some people, they're very foolish. They say, we did dua. You know, we asked in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us so-and-so, give us aid. But they don't realize, did they read their 5 daily prayers?
Allah.
Did they fulfill their faraid?
Allah.
And then they know the answers.
Very important for us.
Whenever Allah Almighty sees that a servant has a sincere intention and is in search of reward, he removes their difficulties. He's the owner and he does as he wills. We need to realize, subhanAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's best for us. Beautiful. So we should be sabr, we should do shukr upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed upon us.
SubhanAllah, beautiful thing. Beautiful thing, subhanAllah.
Allah Almighty has recorded the sustenance for every believer and every transgressor. Not just every believer, but even for every transgressor, those who still, you know, cross the boundaries. Even their sustenance has been decreed.
Such a great reassurance for us, isn't it?
SubhanAllah. If they remain patient, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. If they remain patient until they are granted halal sustenance, Allah Almighty will grant it to them.
SubhanAllah.
If they display impatience and advance towards haram, Allah Almighty reduces the halal sustenance. لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. If you do shukr, if you do thankfulness, I will definitely increase for you. But if you are ungrateful, then definitely my punishment is very severe.
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so much. We lose count.
Indeed.
Another thing, this is in regards to our children now.
Subhanallah.
And this is in regards to the salah, prioritizing salah. أَيْقِظُ الصَّبِيَّ يُصَلِّي وَلَوْ بِسَجْدَةً.
Subhanallah.
Wake children for salah. Even if they perform a single sajda.
Allah.
When you tuck your children into bed, with what mindset do you tuck them into bed? What do we see? We see children go to sleep early. You got school tomorrow. My son, my daughter, you got college, you got university tomorrow. You got work. But why don't we make this mindset? You got your fajr salah in the morning.
Subhanallah.
We should make that mindset.
Subhanallah.
And inshallah, with that beauty of reading the fajr salah, you gain more sustenance.
Subhanallah.
But people are blinded by wealth. They don't know that whatever's coming first in the day, the Fajr Salah.
SubhanAllah.
You know, you get so much sustenance.
SubhanAllah.
If only we all read a Fajr Salah.
SubhanAllah.
Another thing, the people who thank Allah Almighty in every state. So whether it's a good state, whether it's a bad state, in every state will be the first to be called towards paradise on the day of judgment.
SubhanAllah.
Whether we're in a calamity, whether we're in an occasion where there's happiness, if you just keep doing shukr, Alhamdulillah, SubhanAllah, that person will be called first on the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. And then the grounds of paradise are inherited by those who offer the 5 prescribed prayers in congregation.
SubhanAllah.
Reading 5 daily prayers, this is one thing, but reading with Jamaat, this is another level.
SubhanAllah.
If those people who go to the masjid regularly and read their prayer in Jamaat, they will realize. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to read our 5 daily prayers with Jamaat. Ameen. Bijayah Nabil Ameen.
MashaAllah. So beautiful things, mashaAllah, Saifa, you've brought into discussion. And these are just some of the many beautiful pearls of wisdom that were stated by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And if we have an overview of all these statements, some of them that we've covered, we can see that for all the way from the obligatory actions, all the way to the preferable actions, all the way to the state of our character, pretty much everything has been discussed and shed light upon by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that how a person should live his life, how should he talk, how should he behave, how should he earn wealth when it comes to it, and in terms of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of paying gratitude to Allah Almighty. So this is, in other words, a complete syllabus of Islam given to us so comprehensively and beautifully within few words, as it is stated that a wise person says something in a concise and precise manner. SubhanAllah. And this is duly seen from the seerah of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. In fact, wisdom and preciseness and conciseness gains blessings from the court of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. They learn their own essence from the court of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and they beautify themselves from the court of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Dear Madani channel, we are talking about this great legendary personality, the history of Islam, the paternal cousin of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who was known as Ustad al-Ulama, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. But now it's a time for our second segment of the program, which is Words of Wisdom. Let's go towards this segment, and on the other side of this segment, inshallah, we will continue our discussion on this great legendary personality, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Segment is Words of wisdom. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
Dear viewers, the word of wisdom that I have before me today is that of the fourth caliph of Islam, the lion of Allah, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem. Beautiful saying. He says that when you become capable of taking revenge against your enemy, you should forgive him as an expression of gratitude. Subhanallah. Such deep worded statement of Mawla Mushkil Kushar, Ali al-Murtaza, the lion of Allah, the fourth caliph of Islam, our master, our leader, our guide, Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, karramallahu ta'ala, wajhahu al-kareem. And again, the importance of showing gratitude in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also shown in this very statement of his. May Allah Almighty enable us to practice it, practically apply it to our daily lives as well. Ameen. Let's carry our discussion further, Ali bhai. We've spoken about the introduction, the early life, some of the statements of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Now, when we delve deeper into this personality and when we read more about this great personality, the highlighting factor that we come across is his scholarly brilliance. How he is known as the jurist companions, how he is known as the Mufassir al-Quran, how he is referred to when it comes to solving the most complex of the queries, and who was someone who was even looked upon by the Sahaba when it came to resolving certain issues because of his scholarly brilliance and the knowledge that he possessed. Now, if you could kindly shed some light regarding his mastery over sciences that he had acquired and how skillful he was in this field of knowledge as well, subhanAllah.
So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is a certain statement of his where he narrates a hadith of the Rasul alayhi salam. And this hadith, it encompasses and it reflects the reason as to why he had such scholarly mastery. Why was he such a brilliant academic? Why was he the master of the sciences? Is because this hadith in Ibn Majah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embraced me and made dua.
Allah.
And what dua did he say? He said, "Oh Allah, teach him wisdom and the interpretation of the books." So grant him wisdom, teach him wisdom and interpretation of books. Now here the scholars, they mention that the word wisdom here refers to the science of hadith. And obviously the interpretation of the book refers to tafsir. Hence he was a master of both hadith and tafsir. That just this one hadith of the Rasul alayhi salam, that's enough for us. That this dua of the Rasul alayhi salam was why he was such an academic. Why he was such a master of the science is whatever the Rasul alayhi salam says, it happens. We never have found an incident that the Rasul alayhi salam has said and it hasn't happened. Whatever Rasul alayhi salam says, it happens. Now this dua of the Rasul alayhi salam was accepted in such a way that the title of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas was that he was the prince of the Mufassirin. He was the prince of the exegetist. That whenever he came to interpretation of the Quran, he was considered the prince. Now during the lifetime of the Rasul alayhi salam, one can only seek knowledge if he goes to it. Knowledge does not come to an individual, rather an individual has to go himself and travel to knowledge.
Thirsty goes to the world doesn't come to the thirsty.
Exactly. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, we can say he was thirsty for knowledge. So he will never miss a single assembly of the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. To the extent that in the entirety of the life of the Rasul alayhi salam, where Sayyidina Abdullah was alive, he would go and attend these gatherings, he would accumulate all this knowledge. But that wasn't enough for him. He didn't just sit and say, "You know what, I've accumulated what I've had myself, that's sufficient. You and I, we attain one durus, two durus, we attend a few lectures, and we say, this is sufficient for me." But look at the brilliance and look at the thirst that wasn't quenched for Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas. That after the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam have left this mundane world, what would Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas do? He would go to all the Sahaba ikram, and he would go and hear those hadiths that he hadn't heard.
Allah.
That maybe there was a narration that Allah, when he wasn't alive, was stated.
Despite having such a stature.
Exactly. Despite being considered the prince of knowledge of exegesis, still he said that I would go to those companions and I would hear those narrations that I hadn't heard before. And then not only would I listen to them, I would scrutinize them. One thing is, you and I, we can take information from anywhere. Today I can open a book, I can open the internet, and I can blindly follow that this was the saying of the Rasul alayhi salam. But what Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas do? He would scrutinize these ahadiths. He would compare them. Has any other companion said this? Where was this narrated? What was the account? And he would scrutinize and he would accumulate this knowledge, not only in books, but he would commit it to memory.
Also at the same time, as you're mentioning this, subhanAllah, we come to know another beautiful element, that he radiallahu anhu himself is known as the prince of scholars, the prince of knowledge. And he's someone who's looked upon by other companions when it comes to the most complex of the queries of the issues. Now, you mentioned that he radiallahu anhu would go to the other Sahaba to hear a hadith that he wouldn't have heard.
Exactly.
Now, if I know something today, I've read two books yet, I wouldn't be coming to you, would I? Then who's going to call me, you know, Sheikh Sahib and, you know, the honorable teacher who is so knowledgeable, you know? My dignity and honor would be a bit compromised by me coming to you or asking you a certain ruling.
Exactly.
This is unfortunately our status nowadays, you know? Because knowledge is such an ocean which cannot be grasped fully by one single individual. From the cradle to the grave, a person's journey to knowledge, it continues.
Definitely.
And every now and then, mashallah, you are a student of knowledge, and mashallah, you've graduated as well. You would have come across many instances where you think, okay, I've studied this lecture, I've studied this hadith or certain topics, but then there would be so much more to talk about it. You would have spent years and years learning one thing, and you would have realized that that wasn't even foundation of that thing, you know? So, what we, you know, from this account, what I can take, alhamdulillah, is that never, ever should we develop such a mindset that I'm senior than you. Oh, if I go to you, you know, Safa is going to think that, oh, I thought Wasim Bhai is very knowledgeable, but he's going to Ali Haider Bhai, who's a fifth year student, and, you know, I thought he's you know, Mufti Sahib or Sheikh Sahib or some Imam Sahib. So if Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu could have this mindset, imagine, I mean, today, me being a scholar of someone is one thing, but then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu being the prince of Fuqaha, you know, there is no comparison. But for him to go to other Sahaba, who would be looking upon him when it came to the knowledge? But he would go to look at the element of humility and humbleness that he radiallahu anhu displayed. And this shows the sincerity of his service in the quench, the thirst that he had for knowledge, the sincerity that he would go to anyone, doesn't matter what rank he has. And this lifted his eminence further.
Exactly.
Shows us that someone who humbles himself for the sake of Allah, Allah elevates his ranks. Allah elevates his ranks. Allah Almighty honors him more. SubhanAllah.
Amazing. And with regards to that point that you touched upon, the sincerity, this isn't only found in one companion. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was he primarily the student of? Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine, just that statement is amazing. He was a student of the Rasulullah alayhi salam. But let's look at any single companion. Humility is what is a profound quality in all of them. Look at Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was that individual who his own servant would ride upon the animal, and himself he would be stood and walking.
He would be holding the rein of the camel.
Exactly. And there's so many examples like that. We see the companions, they would humble themselves. They would have sincerity, and they would display this to those who we would deem as less senior to them. But they didn't look at this. They looked at the perfect role model, who was the Rasulullah alayhi salam. Then why should we have this in ourselves? Why should we display that, no, I am senior? He could have said that, I am not only a companion, I am the cousin of the Rasulullah alayhi salam. I have this relation to the Rasulullah alayhi salam. I am from the family of the Rasulullah alayhi salam. He could have very easily had said this. But he displayed humility. Why? Because he had this nisbah to who? The Rasulullah alayhi salam.
Beautifully shows us that the more superior you get in rank, the more elite you become, the more humbleness and humility from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala you are granted. Very beautiful message, dear viewers, from this very element as well. We learn from the seerah of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that humility, humbleness is something that needs to be embedded within our nature. Contrary to humbleness is what? Arrogance, which is something that leads towards the hellfire. And from the likes of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu an, who is the leader of fuqaha, who is the prince of the scholars, who is the teacher of scholars, someone who's looked upon by the Sahaba, by the scholars. This is one of the paramount elements, one of the paramount features that we learn from his seerah. Throughout many of the discussions that we're carrying on, we learn how humble he was despite having such grandeur and such dignity. And look how Allah Almighty rewarded him, how his ranks were further elevated. A great message for us as well, that we should also have humbleness within us as well. Dear viewers, at the same time, now it's time for our third segment of the day, which is, did you know? After this segment, inshallah, we will continue our discussion further. But now, let's go to our third segment of the day, which is, did you know? Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
So dear viewers, today our format has also changed slightly. Normally we have two brothers and they both ask questions to each other, but today I'll have the royalty of asking questions to both of you rather than answering myself, rather than being in the firing line myself. But inshallah, I'll be asking questions to both of you. And the main purpose is, of course, to spread the knowledge of Islam, to spread knowledge of Islam in a fascinating manner for the viewers of Madani Channel. So again, today we've chosen beautiful questions and answers for the viewers of Madani Channel, inshallah, which will be propagated then through yourselves, inshallah. So are we ready, inshallah?
Inshallah.
Ali bhai, question number one is for you. How old was the final messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam when he traveled to Sham for the second time?
Our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at this point in time was 25 years old.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Mashallah. SubhanAllah. So, bhai, question for you, that which being, which creation of Allah flies and also gives birth?
It's the bat.
SubhanAllah. It's the bat. SubhanAllah. What great wonder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that normally the birds that fly, the creation that flies, they lay eggs. But is that creation of Allah Almighty that also flies as well as gives birth? SubhanAllah. Ali bhai, next question for you. A very interesting one. How many sons did Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam have?
SubhanAllah. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had 13 sons.
SubhanAllah. Something which would be very interesting for the viewers of Madani Channel, that Ibrahim alayhi salam had 13 sons. Sayyid bhai, question for you. Again, very interesting fact, that which person, after 4,000 years, came back to life, and in which prophet did he believe?
Sayyidina Sam bin Nuh.
SubhanAllah.
So, came back to life and believed in Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam.
SubhanAllah. Sam bin Nuh rahmatullah alayhi, who was the son of Nuh alayhi salam. He was resurrected after 4,000 years during the era of Prophet Isa alayhi salam. He believed in Isa alayhi salam, and then Allah Almighty gave him death.
SubhanAllah.
What great qudrah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next question for you, Ali bhai. That what was the cost of purchasing the land for Masjid al-Nabawi?
An amazing question, an amazing answer as well. The cost was 10 dinars.
10 dinars, subhanAllah. 10 dinars, dear viewers, was the cost of purchasing the land for Masjid Nabawi, subhanAllah. Sayyid, last question for you, and again, very interesting one, that how old was our master, the second caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anh, when he accepted Islam, when he became Muslim?
He radiallahu anh was 26 years old.
SubhanAllah. He was 26 years old when he embraced Islam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, this was our segment, Did You Know?, in which we brought these lovely, wonderful questions, fascinating questions for yourself, where we acquire so much knowledge and we talk about certain elements of Islam through which we try to learn more knowledge of Islam. I hope this would have increased our knowledge in regards to the topic that we covered and the questions that we covered, and inshallah it would benefit us. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Just going before going towards the segment, anyway, we were talking about the scholarly brilliance of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. You touched upon certain facts. Is there anything else that you would like to touch upon?
Regards to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, we find usually in one's life, and when, as we know, when people study, they tend to keep information to themselves. If an individual, he studies, he may keep that, he may say that this knowledge is for myself, or this knowledge is something that I won't necessarily spread. But Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, if you look at books of hadith, there are many, many hadith in which the chain goes to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And when you read books of hadith until this series, maybe when I would read these books, I would hear this name and I knew he had a relation to the Rasul alayhi salam, and he was a companion. But now that when we're going to read these hadith and you hear of this narrator, straight away you think, this is Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. So I personally believe the biggest lesson you can learn from the mastery of science of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas is his love for knowledge. You find that he attended all these gatherings. He wouldn't spare a single companion. He would go to every single companion in his reach to go and learn knowledge. And that's the lesson for each and every one of us, that how easy is it to seek knowledge? We have our mobile devices, any single thing we wish to study. Dawat Islami has so many online services. Whatever time you want, whatever day you want, whatever you want. In those time deals, only based on what they had.
What excuse do I have to make?
Exactly. Whenever you want, you can sit in the comfort of your home. You can choose your subject. You can choose your time. And still we say, you know, it's very difficult to study knowledge. People left their homelands and traveled all over. There's mazarat of the Sahaba Ikram all over the world. But look at you and I, look at us today, that we make all these excuses that it's very difficult to study knowledge. How can I dedicate my life? It's just that feeling within ourselves. You read about the Sahaba, read about their path and how they sacrificed their time, you'll fall in love with knowledge.
It's all about getting the mindset, Ali Bhai, isn't it? It's setting the priorities, right?
Of course.
If I want to do something, I would do it. If I got work 4 o'clock in the morning, I would wake up 2 a.m. in the morning.
Exactly.
It's all about prioritizing work. I know some of the Islamic brothers who work in certain industry where they have to start work very early in the morning. Now, what is it that makes them wake up 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. to get ready for their work, especially in cold, freezing night? It is that motivation and that mindset which they've developed, that I have to get to work, you know, no matter what happens. In the same way, when we prioritize acquiring knowledge, then doesn't matter what happens, we will get on this path. It's all about getting the mindset right and having those excellences and benefits of acquiring knowledge. The fish in the seas and angels, they spread their wings in the path of the seeker of knowledge. How many fadail and excellences we come across? The person who is in the quest of knowledge and passes away in that path is like a martyr. And so many other virtues, you know, others would enter Jannah while scholars would be stopped and they will be told to intercede for others. How many excellences there are, and what else do I need to make my own mindset? And as you beautifully mentioned, that alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islam in today's day and age has provided us with these solutions.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough. We haven't got physical Jamiat al-Madinah. We haven't got physical Islamic university in our neighborhood. Online services are there. Whichever part of the world you are in. You know, if you can study physically, well and good. There's nothing better than this. But if you can't, Dawat-e-Islami has even provided a solution for this. There are mobile applications. There's the Tafsir of Quran on the mobile app. There's Bahari Shariat app. There's so much knowledge that Dawat-e-Islami has given us through our mobile applications. We have Dawat-e-Islami website. We have Alhamdulillah Faizan online academy of Dawat-e-Islami, where numerous numbers of courses are taught. Even scholar course, there's an Islamic course is also taught on it. So what excuses they left for us? But this is your Dawat-e-Islami. Alhamdulillah. Yes, this is your Dawat Islami, which is following the footsteps of the likes of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anh, who is spreading the light of knowledge all across the world using the modern techniques, using the modern technology to ensure that none of us are left thirsty. None of us are left without knowledge. So the entire platform is there for us. It is up to us to develop that mindset and come on the path of knowledge. So if we're talking about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, we spoke about his scholarly brilliance, the mastery of sciences that he had. Now, of course, from a very young age, he spent in the court of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he acquired knowledge. Now, any certain incidents upon his birth or his youth that you would like to share with the Viewers of Madani Channel?
SubhanAllah, yeah. When it comes to, you know, blessed individuals, you know, one thing we look at is the blessed birth of an individual, how they even passed away. Even this is blessed, and even a lot of people take account of this. But let's look at the blessings upon his blessed birth. So describing his blessed birth, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala narrates, I was wrapped in a cloth and taken to the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who performed tahniq upon me with his blessed saliva.
SubhanAllah. Tahniq, the first food which is given to the child. SubhanAllah.
This was his blessed, blessed
the point that Ali Bhai mentioned earlier, that was the first food that entered the mouth of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu.
And then when it comes to the passing away of Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, so he radiallahu ta'ala anhu was approximately 13 years old at the time of the passing of the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And he passed away in 71 after Hijri in Taif, age 68.
That's Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu
anhu. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. That's amazing. Amazing to know regarding the greatness of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And at the same time, Azur, I think there's another account regarding in the home of his maternal aunt.
Yes.
Which also occurred. Just before we go to that very account, you mentioned regarding the passing of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and also regarding the blessed birth of his. Now, this again shows us that we should also have this mindset of giving tahniq to our children from the pious people. This is something which should be practiced from from our shuyukh, from a shaykh, from anyone who's pious. We should get them to give tahniq to our newborn children. There are countless blessings in this, and this is following again the footsteps of the Prophet. So the account of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu in the home of maternal aunt.
So he, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, narrates that I once stayed at the home of my maternal aunt. And who was the maternal aunt? Sayyidina Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. Intending to observe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's night prayer, a sleeping mat was laid for the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So I lay down horizontally at the cushion whilst the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his blessed wife lay lengthwise. SubhanAllah. Look at the love, look at the piety. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam went to sleep and awoke in the middle of the night, or somewhat before or after it. He sat up rubbing his face with his hand. Then he recited the last 10 verses of Surah Ali Imran. Following this, he went towards a hanging water skin, performed ablution perfectly, and stood for prayer. SubhanAllah. So we should do this as well. When you get the chance during the night, when you get the chance of reading out the Hajjul prayer, such a prayer in where the person who does dua at that time is like the arrow that doesn't miss his target. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah states, I also arose and did as the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had done, and stood to his left, placing his right hand on my head and taking hold of my right ear. He ushered me to his right side, and after prayer, he rested until the muadzin came to him, and the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam offered two rakats of prayer, after which he set off for the Fajr Salah.
SubhanAllah.
Then there's a further account of this. This is not the end, this is a further account of this, like this one. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrated that once I came to the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in the last part of the night. Such a part of the night where people struggled to wake up or work and began to pray standing behind the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Then the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam held me by the hand and stood me next to him when he was deep in his prayer. I returned back, and after the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam completed his prayer, he said, why is it that you returned back and I stood you next to me? I said, dear Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, is it allowed for someone to stand next to you and offer prayer, whereas you are the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and Allah has granted you a remarkable rank? Look at the humility, look at the humbleness.
And at such a young age.
SubhanAllah. And such a young age. This is the time where we're trying to teach our children manners, how to respect one another, the parents. But, you know, at such a young age, and Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, SubhanAllah. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was pleased with this and supplicated for increased knowledge and understanding from
Allah.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah. May Allah Almighty shower His countless blessings and mercies upon Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we're talking about none other than Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, and now is the time for our fourth and final segment of today's program, which is today's hadith. Let's go towards our final segment, today's hadith, and let's see what hadith there is for us today. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
In our lives, we receive many words of encouragement, sometimes from our parents, sometimes from our teachers, sometimes from our colleagues, friends, relatives, siblings. Everybody can possibly give good advice. But remember, the advice and the encouragement, the instruction given by the Prophet ﷺ is the best advice, the best form of guidance. Khairul Hadi, Hadi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best form of guidance is the guidance provided by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instruct us to do? There are many narrations, of course, but in one narration, which is found in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shayba, the Prophet alayhi wa sallam said, build masajid. Construct masajid. But the thing is, how many of us are busy in this activity? We're building our own houses, having extensions done. A new floor, spacious house. We make plans for this, we save up for this. We spend a lot of days and nights thinking about this. But what about this emphatic command of the Prophet ﷺ, build masajid? How many of us are actually acting upon this? And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us tawfiq to do so. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Beautiful hadith, devious. And just before we went to the segment, we were talking about Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and inshallah we'll continue our discussion on this great personality. Anyway, when we talk about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, we've covered some of the features. When we specifically talk about his sincerity and love for the prophetic inheritance, what would you mention in this regard?
So first, the word, what is prophetic inheritance? That's something we need to
inheritance imagine. Is like money, isn't it?
That's usually what we would think.
Money, this is property, houses.
Exactly. But this is in property, this is inheritance of the Rasul alayhi wasallam, the Prophet alayhi wasallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas, he described that once he came across a certain companion and he found out that he knows a narration that I haven't heard. So he thinks to himself, there's an hadith that I haven't heard. How can this be that knowledge exists and I haven't gone to it?
Right.
So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he goes to that companion's house. And he has a cloak around him, he lays his cloak down. He doesn't knock on this door. Bearing in mind who is, he is the cousin of the Rasul alayhi salam. He is part of the Ahlul Bayt. If anybody has a right to ask from the companions, it's the family of the Rasul alayhi salam. And that's what the Rasul alayhi salam told the companions. That they are guides for you, that they are helps for you. Now Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he lays his cloak at the doorstep of this companion.
Allah.
And at that point in time, it was the afternoon siesta. So at that point in time, of course, being in the desert, being the Arabian Peninsula, winds are blowing, dust is blowing on his face.
Allah.
Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, he says himself that if I had wished to have sought his permission, he would have agreed.
Allah.
If I had wished and I sought his permission, he wouldn't have declined. But I wanted to prefer to wait so that he could be refreshed. Why? Because in the afternoon siesta was the time of Kailula. It was the time where the Rasul alayhi salam informed the companions to take that rest. But even during that time, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, he was eager to study knowledge.
And the other companion would have been privileged.
Most definitely.
If he was
exactly
told by Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, I'm here.
The cousin of the Rasul alayhi salam. When this companion, he came out of his house, and he sees Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas sitting there. He says, oh, cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the matter with you? That what is this scene that I am seeing, that the cousin of the Rasul alayhi salam is sitting at my doorstep? And you know what Sayyidina, this companion, he says, if you had sent for me, I would have come. Who does one send for? The person who was low in stature. He says, if you had sent for me, I would have come to you. But look at the amazing words of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas. He says, I am the one who should come to you, for knowledge is sought. It does not just come. And then what happens after this? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, he listens to his hadith and he goes. Just for one hadith, look at the difficulty he experienced. He sat at a doorstep. He allowed dust to go on his face. And after all of this time, He listened to one hadith. Just one hadith of the Rasulullah alayhi salam, he quenched that thirst and then he moved Allah. This is two lessons for us. The sincerity and the love for not only the Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas had, but the love that the Sahaba had for the family of the Rasulullah alayhi salam. Both the Ahlul Bayt and the companions, people like to speak. People like to try to cause issues. Mm. But we have seen throughout history, throughout the books of the hadith, Allah, their love goes hand in hand. The Sahaba have love for the Ahlul Bayt, and the Ahlul Bayt have love for the Rasulullah alayhi salam's family, for the companions. Why? Because they all have a nisbah to Rasulullah.
Even if Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu had made the companion wake up, that would have been a privilege and honor for him.
Most definitely.
The element of, again, humbleness and, again, regard for the Muslim.
Definitely.
Regardfulness, looking after the well-being of Muslims, looking after, you know, their well-being. How beautifully is, again, shown in this very incident of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, where he humbled himself to such a level where he blessed dust to kiss his beautiful face. You know. This is what we learn from the seerah of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. But at the same point, Zuhr, I would also be talking about the regardfulness he had for the Sahaba. At the same time, we also come across an incident of love that he had with Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu
anhu.
If you could also shed light on that. We're talking about the love between the Sahaba, the love between the Sahaba and Ahlul Bayt. At the same time, I think this is the right time to talk about the love, the incident of love he had for Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu.
Now, this was an very emotional reset for me. When I was reading about this, I couldn't take the smile off my face. Even at this point in time, I can't take the smile off my face, because it's just literally, it's the pinnacle of love. Love itself is defined by this incident. I can truly say that love itself takes lessons from this lesson of Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he had special admiration for Hazrat Zayd ibn Thabit because he was a recorder of the revelation, he was a leading judge, and he was a jurist of consult in Medina Tul Munawwara. He was an expert in laws of inheritance and the interpretation of the Quran. So due to his merits of knowledge, due to his knowledge in regards to the deen of the Rasul alayhi salam, Sayyidina Ibn Abbas took a liking to him. Why? Because Sayyidina Ibn Abbas had a passion for knowledge. Who better to go to than the person who was known as the jurist of Al-Madinah, Surah Munawwara. So when Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu, whenever he would want to go for a trip, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, he would stand humbly by his side. He would stand, and this was at a very young age, he would stand by his side, and he would hold onto the reins of the animals, and he would have an attitude of a humble servant, and he would be in the presence of his master. So you know, whenever you see a servant in the presence of his master, the scholars describe that's how he would stand. He would hold the reins of the animal and he would stand in the presence of Hazrat Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. You know what Hazrat Zayd would say? He would say, "Don't, oh cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But oh cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not do this. Your uncle, your cousin is our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not do this." And Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu, what did he say? He says, "We were commanded to treat the learned ones amongst us."
SubhanAllah.
Sayyidina Abdullah, what did he say? It was almost this discussion of love. Allah. They were each trying to justify their love. Sayyidina Abdullah says, I was taught by the Rasulullah alayhi salam to show respect and reverence to the ones who have knowledge. And Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anhu, what did he say? He says, "Let me see your hand." Hazrat Zayd bin Thabit said to Sayyidina Abdullah, "Let me see your hand." Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu was stretched out of his hand. Hazrat Zayd took that blessed hand and kissed it and says, "Thus we were commanded to treat the members of the family of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This is the definition of love. From both sides, they are trying to justify, why should I respect you? Why should I love you? In the matters of the dunya, people try to argue, why should you respect me? But look at this love. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas says, "Oh, Hazrat Zayd ibn Thabit, I respect you because you are learned." And what does Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit say? "Oh, Abdullah ibn Abbas, I respect you. Why? Because you are the Ahlul Bayt. And not only do I respect you, not only is he senior in knowledge and age, he takes his hand and kisses it." He takes this hand and kisses it to show that teri nasli paak mere bachcha bachcha noor ka tu hai aine noor tera sab gharana noor ka.
Subhanallah. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we're talking about Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, and this also highlights the importance of knowledge. That Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he had knowledge, so he knew what the respect of the Ahlul Bayt is. And on the other hand, subhanallah, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was also knowledgeable. He was, in fact, the leader of the knowledgeable. And he over here showed us the importance of respecting the knowledgeable individual. Such a great dialogue between two legends of knowledge, between two oceans of knowledge. And out of all this,
the love, honor, eminence one, we can say, and something beautiful for us to take from it, subhanAllah. Saifai, when we're talking about the brilliance of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, we also come to know about one occasion where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he supplicated for Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Could you share the supplication which Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made for Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in which manner was it made?
SubhanAllah. Imagine being given a supplication by the best of creation. Imagine that feeling, imagine that inspiration, that jazba you get from that. The best of creation, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, held Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah tied to his chest and supplicated him, Allahumma allimhul hikmah. Oh Allah, teach him wisdom. SubhanAllah. We have a mufti, we have a mufassir who is so learned, alhamdulillah azza wa jal. And this is all about the blessings of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's du'as. SubhanAllah. And in one narration, he supplicated, Allahumma allimhul kitab. Oh Allah, teach him the book. SubhanAllah. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and narrates that the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam once entered the privy. So I placed water for his ablution. SubhanAllah. Look at that, khadim, you know, presenting water to the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, inquired as to who had placed the water. And he was informed that it was I.
SubhanAllah.
So he supplicated for me. Oh Allah, grant him understanding of the religion. SubhanAllah. Once the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam placed his blessed hand on his head and supplicated, Allahumma a'tihi al-hikmah wa 'allimhu al-ta'wil. SubhanAllah. Oh Allah, grant you wisdom and teach him interpretation. SubhanAllah. Which is why we have him as a mufti, alhamdulillah azza wa jal. SubhanAllah. Then he placed his blessed hand on his chest such that he felt its coolness in his back and supplicated, oh Allah, fill his chest with wisdom and knowledge. SubhanAllah. So the blessing of this manifested in such a way that he did not feel uneasiness in answering any question from the people and was granted the title of Yudai scholar of this Ummah. SubhanAllah.
Amazing, amazing. How the Prophet supplicated for him, and no doubt why Allah Almighty blessed him with such marvels and such wonders.
And after doing this dua, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated for a lot of good for him and said, how good an interpreter of the Quran you are. SubhanAllah. You want to see such a blessed individual who has done so much work in the Quran, the blessed Quran. Look at Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma.
That's amazing, amazing. Beautifully mentioned, mashallah. And how the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made du'as for Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And Allah Almighty granted so many blessings and excellences to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. Ali bhai, we haven't got much time left. We've spoken about how Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was the love between him and other companions. Now, any specific account you want to talk about how the respect element was between the companions, if you could quickly shed some light on this, along with summarizing his service for the Ummah. And then inshallah, we'll go towards the conclusion of the program.
So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, we all know such a great, the second caliph of Islam. We don't even need to try and introduce this great individual. He states that he would always seek his guidance on important matters, and he would refer to Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas with the title of the younger man of maturity.
SubhanAllah.
Imagine the great caliph of Islam, Sayyidina Umar, titling you with the young man of maturity.
And Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu himself was the mufti of the time.
Exactly.
You know,
such a great man of wisdom himself. Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he made a description of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas. He says, I have never seen someone who was quicker in understanding and who had more knowledge and wisdom than Sayyidina ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. To the extent I have seen, Sayyidina Umar summon him with difficult matters with regards to the veterans of the Badr and the Muhajirin, the Ansar. So in very difficult matters. And Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would speak, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would not disregard what he had to say. So whatever Sayyidina ibn Abbas would say, Sayyidina Umar would take that on board and he would agree with it.
And Umar radiallahu anhu, the second caliph of Islam, looking at whom Satan the cursed would change his heart. This is what his sentiments were for Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And towards the end, Huzur, just very last few minutes we have, very quickly, if you could mention regarding his service for the Ummah. And very quickly, if you can summarize this topic, inshallah.
We could go on and on about his brilliance, his academic brilliance and his khidmat. But just to quickly summarize, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, what his routine was, where he would sit in his house and he would say that anybody who has a question about anything, about poetry, about tafsir, about hadith, about Arabic knowledge, syntax, morphology, anything, come and ask. To the extent that when he would call the people, his house would become filled. And then he would have to say, make way for your brothers. He would actually do an ilan, make way for your brothers. He would answer one group of people, the next would come. To the extent that he was so busy in this way, he had to dedicate time for subjects. He would say, the people of poetry, you come at this time. The people of tafsir, come at this time. People of tafsir and hadith, you come at this time. His house would always be filled with people asking questions. And as I mentioned, he never hesitated in his answers. Whenever he would speak with the garden of wisdom. And remember, he was just a flower from the wisdom of the Rasul alayhi salam. So I think it's befitting for us to end on this point. The Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anh, such a great scholar. His services are known to the scholars of hadith, but in reality, this is all showing us that if the servant is like this, then what would the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be like himself?
The time doesn't permit us to carry on, but the topic, the personality that we've been discussing about has been a phenomenal one, has been a remarkable one. And the more we talk about him, the more we fall in love with him, the more we fall in love with his eminence. But unfortunately, the time has got better of us, and truly, we cannot do justice to this great personality. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu passed away at the age of 68 in 71 Hijri in Taif. This is when this garden of beacon left this temporary world and left a great legacy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his countless choices of mercies and blessings upon the blessed shrine of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. May Allah Almighty allow us to follow in his footsteps, and may Allah Almighty forgive us all without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bidahi khatam in nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inshallah azza wa jal, we'll be back again next week with another topic, another subject, another personality in our program, Lives of the Companions. So don't forget to join us again next Wednesday. In the meanwhile, stay tuned into Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Lives of the Companions, radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the Companions, رضي الله عنهم.